Hi there, Vet Blast podcast listeners. Missed out on Fetch this year or looking to revisit your favorite sessions? You are in luck. Fetch On Demand is here to bring you practical, real-world, continuing education anytime, anywhere. No matter your schedule, you can access expertly curated content that's designated to meet the challenges you face every day in your clinic. From cutting-edge medical insights to hands-on practice tips, Fetch On Demand is your ultimate resource for staying at the forefront of veterinarian medicine. So what are you waiting for? Visit dvm360events.com, click on Demand, and start learning at your pace today. Fetch On Demand, education without limits.
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Ocular emergencies. You've all have seen them. Sometimes you want to go the other way when they come down, but we're going to chat about them with our wonderful friend, boarded veterinary ophthalmologist, Dr. Alex Sigmund. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing so well. How are you?
Good. Good to see you. Always thank you for sharing your expertise with us. Let's get into it, you know, because we've seen them. There's different forms of ocular emergencies that we see, but let's start with the basic one because these are the ones that people tend to scream at when they have like a proptosis eye coming down. So, you know, what, how do we stabilize that kind of a patient?
Yeah, when a proptosis comes in, it is usually a trauma unless you are a really like a pug, brachycephalic dog, where their eyes can just kind of pop out sometimes if they fall off the couch, but usually it's going to be a traumatic injury. And so you do want to assess this patient with a physical exam, make sure you don't see any other signs of trauma. Cause a lot of times we get a little excited. Well, I do about the eye, and there is the rest of the body you got to worry about. So you want to make sure that there's no puncture wounds, other things that you need to worry about if this was like a dog fight or hit by a car or something like that. These are emergencies that need to be addressed sooner rather than later, because when that eye is proptosed, it has a lot of tension on the optic nerve, which is only going to lessen their visual prognosis. So there are a few things to look at when you're trying to assess whether this eye should go back or not. And I think kind of the biggest one to remember is how much blood is there. If there is a lot of blood around this eye, then it probably does not need to go back and it should just be enucleated. Now, if this is a relatively clean proptosis where there's just a little bit of subconjunctival hemorrhage, then those are ones that I'm going to be more willing to put back and, you know, replace them. If there's a ton of blood inside of the eye, then I'm also a little bit worried about trauma inside of the eye that we just can't see, because you can have these compressive injuries that actually, this sounds really bad, crack the inside of the eye without rupturing it. And those dogs do not do well either. So, you know, say everything looks great, we're going to try and put this back. Then you can definitely check for a PLR to see if they still have that in that eye or the opposite eye. So checking a consensual PLR is good. Do they have a dazzle? I mean, that's kind of the base level of vision is your dazzle response. If they have any of that, then their visual prognosis is good. If they don't have any of that, then I kind of say, you know what, we can put this back because, you know, there's not a lot of bleeding, but the visual prognosis is unknown, I would say. And we just kind of have to give it time to recover and see what happens.
You know, it's always interesting to say, like, to save the eye or to not save the eye. So it's good to, you know those differences. So very helpful. Okay, next one is kind of along those lines, like laceration, trauma around the eye itself too, eyelid traumas, those kinds of things that could be associated with it, right?
Yeah. So if there is a laceration around the eye that does not involve the eyelid margin, you can pretty much just treat it like you would any other wound on the body. But when you have the eyelid margin that's affected, that has to be fixed. That's not something that we are just going to let it heal on its own if we can help it. There is one paper that does report outcomes of dogs that had eyelid lacerations that healed on their own without treatment. And most of them were lower eyelid lacerations, and they actually did okay. They just had chronic drainage from the eye. The upper lids, because those are the most mobile in our cats and dogs, those did not do well. And those dogs did have ongoing corneal issues from that malformed, or, you know, the eyelid that didn't heal very well. So when you put these together, you can kind of close the rest of the skin up to that eyelid margin as you would any other. So sub-Q and skin. But when you get to that margin, you have to use a particular type of suture pattern called a figure eight knot. And what that does is it puts the knot away from the eyelid margin, away from the cornea, so that you don't risk suture rubbing on the eye. So that is what I will do for any eyelid laceration. And then if it's a large laceration, like involving a lot of skin, you can put that together as you would any other laceration, but that margin has to be a figure eight knot. And then I usually do put them on a antibiotic topically, like Neopolyvac, just to help with any infection that could happen.
And of course, like pain management too.
E-collar. And we've also stained the eye to make sure that the eye wasn't damaged. So we've already done all of that. Now we're just focusing on the eyelid.
Excellent. Okay. And next up is glaucoma. So we can see that coming in. Sometimes it's actually can be very subtle too. You may not even think that they're coming in for a wellness and you think the pug is really stressed out. And we as veterinarians, we're like, oh, that doesn't look like stress. That's something else we got going on. So, but yeah.
Yes. So with glaucoma, it depends on if it's chronic or acute, because chronic glaucoma is not really an emergency. And by chronic, I mean that they have a big ophthalmic enlarged eye. Now, those are ones that will come in and the owner's like, this just happened. And that takes time for it to happen. So ophthalmia, that eye's already blind. All we really need to focus on is comfort level. Maybe just even removing it with an enucleation if the owners are down for that, because that dog's not going to gain anything from having that eye. Now, if you have an acute glaucoma, and that's where this owner has come in and they say, hey, he went blind, 4 hours ago, that's going to be your best case scenario where you can just attack it with glaucoma medications and try and get that pressure down. If that dog was like, well, he's been bumping into things for a week before he comes in to see you, then their prognosis is going to go way down, because the longer that pressure is high, the more damage is being done to their visual system. And depending on how high a pressure is, they can go permanently blind within 24 hours. So those are where usually the first eye is one that we kind of lose, just because owners don't even know what glaucoma is, let alone what to look for. And it's the second eye, if that one ends up going, you know, if they have a primary glaucoma issue, then they usually pick up on that one a lot faster, because we're looking for things like redness to the eye, drainage, cloudiness, so edema, an enlarged pupil, so kind of a big pupil, and then obviously vision loss. Those are all going to be things that are like, I should definitely check a pressure on this. And it's kind of a box I'll, or a hill I'll die on, which is every ER should have a tonometer, because these dogs will go blind and we can hopefully delay it. But if we miss that diagnosis, that they'll be blind, you know, within a day or two, which is really sad for everyone involved.
Right. Absolutely. Are there any other emergencies that you can think of that would be associated with the eye?
Nothing that would be, I would say that I would consider, oh, actually, yes. So, an anterior lens luxation would be another one that can come in on emergency. It will look very similar to a horrible glaucoma case, except usually, their cornea is so swollen, so edematous that you can't see inside of it. And before you start hammering them with glaucoma medications, you do need to ascertain where that lens is. And so if you can't see in, you can use an ultrasound. You can actually use just a linear probe ultrasound, some proparacaine on the eye, some sterile lube, and you can try and assess where that lens is inside of the eye. And so if it's luxated anteriorly, it's going to be basically there's no anterior chamber. So you're going to have a cornea, and then directly behind that, you'll have your lens, versus in a normal ultrasound, you'll have cornea, black fluid, which is your anterior chamber, and then your lens and iris. But with the lens lux, you won't have that space. And that's definitely also a big emergency that I would consider emergency. And those usually have to be surgically managed in some way, or have some type of procedure to help those dogs out And they'll also have a really high pressure most of the time, like 80s, 90s, very high.
Really high. I'll never forget when I was on my eye rotation in vet school, Iowa State, got to give a shout out. I had this dog named Cooper. He was an English Springer Spaniel, and it was an emergency that he came in, and it was blastomycosis in his eyes. And it was awful. Probably wouldn't, I guess, similar to your point, it was glaucoma, pressures were elevated and all those different things. But, you know, some of these fungal diseases that you see associated with these eyes is so scary. He had a bilateral enucleation too, and he lived an incredible life. He did great. But yeah, scary.
Yeah, uveitis is a very subtle emergency, if you will, because
Yeah.
it's going to can ca it can cause similar signs of redness and discharge and squinting. And so usually if you've ruled out, you know, your pressure is maybe a little low, your if it's an acute uveitis, if they're stain negative, their pupils may be a little small, and then you're starting to see some flare, then that is going to be an indication that you're dealing with a uveitis. And depending on where you are in the country, that's going to determine what kind of things you test for.
Got it. Excellent.
And definitely in Iowa, fungal disease.
Yeah, absolutely. Out in the Midwest. Dr. Alex Sigmund, thank you so much for being on the show. Tell us before you leave, give us one fun animal fact, ophthalmology wise.
The elephant has two focal points in their retina, one for normal vision and the other one to focus on the end of their trunk.
Ah, see?
Fascinating.
I know. The more you know.
I know.
Where can we find you on Instagram?
I am the Vet Eye Guy on Instagram.
Yeah, we'll put it all in the show notes for you as well. So thank you so much for being on, my friend.
Yeah, thank you so much. Always fun to have.
I
Yes.
know. No.
Fun
Thanks.
to be here.
Yeah, no, thank you so much, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum.